Turn your Bibles this morning to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Man, what a great song service this morning. Man, I tell you, some weeks, I heard a message early this week on surrender, and man, it hit me. And I was thinking about Miss Antic's song, and the sometimes you feel so far away from the hem of his garment. And it's not because of him, as Mr. John says, it's because of me. And man, I just more of Jesus, more of him. And man, that's my life's desire. My life's desire. I hope it's yours as well. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verse 12, and it says this: "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Let's pray. God, I think about, Lord, this morning, my own physical flesh. And Lord God, I told you this week, as you know, Lord God, I told you that it will be so much better. Lord God, as I think about my dad and think about him this week, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Lord God, I'm looking forward to that day when this robe of flesh drops off. And Lord God, I'm there with you. Lord God, or you come down to see us, Lord, in the rapture. But Lord, until then, we have to deal with sin. We have to deal with sin. We have to deal with our physical flesh. And Lord God, I pray that, Lord, you've given us the Holy Spirit for those that are saved, Lord God, to give victory over that flesh, Lord God. But Lord, it's hard and it's a battle, and you never promised us, Lord God, that it would be easy. And Lord God, I can attest, it's a battle every day. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, if there's someone here, Lord God, who only has a sin nature, they have not experienced the Holy Spirit indwelling in them through salvation. God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord God, they may not have another chance. They may not have another service to come and hear your word and hear about Jesus Christ dying on the cross to save us. Lord God, we are nothing without Jesus Christ. Nothing. Lord God, I pray today, Lord God, through the preaching and through the word of God, Lord, if there's one not saved, they would walk an aisle this morning. Lord God, oh, the change you would make in their life. God, I pray that you be this morning. Lord, move among these pews, Lord God. Holy Spirit, move, Lord. You are the vehicle of conviction. And so, God, I pray if there's someone not saved, you would do that. And then, Lord, also, Holy Spirit, you're the vehicle of conviction for us who are saved, who need to get more, Lord, in closer with you. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. Be with the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And as always, man, appreciate great song service this morning, man. Good congregational singing. And, man, choir enjoyed that song. And Ms. Antic was special, man. Appreciated that this morning. I was thinking as she was singing that, there's a lot of problems with the rock music that's coming to the church. But one of the issues is you can't understand the words. Man, the words of that song were so good. We want to hear those words and understand what it's saying, and that would be our prayer as well. So thank you for that this morning. And Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. And, man, just again, this appreciate y'all's prayers for us. And this week with being Dad's birthday, I was thinking, man, I miss him. And those of y'all who have lost loved ones, you know the same thing. You miss them. And I hate the fact that some of the people that are here didn't get to know Dad. I was looking around. I saw Brother Mike LaRue. I was saying, those two would have gotten in trouble. They've been cutting up and getting in trouble. And some of you that didn't get to meet Dad and get to know him, I wish you could have. But, man, just so appreciate the time that God gave us together. And thank you again for your prayers for us. We read Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We're in Genesis chapter 3. Somebody thought we were in Genesis. We are, right? So go to Genesis chapter 3 this morning. Genesis chapter 3. And in the beginning, we talked about chapters 1 and 2 and talked about the creation of God. And then we talked about the first man, the first woman, the first marriage. And God ordained all of that. God created man, God created woman. And then God brought the man and woman together for the first marriage. We'll get into Genesis chapter 3 here in just a minute. I was reading this week. I looked this up, and how many of y'all remember, this is way back, right, way back, and of course, I don't remember this when it originated, okay, but I did see it later on. But y'all remember the Lone Ranger. I remember the Lone Ranger. You remember that? All right. I read that to tell if you're really sophisticated or not is if you hear William Tell's Overture and you don't think of the Lone Ranger, then you're sophisticated. So I'm not. All right. I'm not sophisticated. But I was reading about this week. Let me ask you this. This is, I don't want to show anybody's age too much. But how many of y'all ever remember listening to the Lone Ranger on the radio? Anybody remember that? On the radio? All right, there's a couple of y'all, all right, that remember that, listening on the radio. But I was reading this week. There was the guy that created that, 1933. That was not when these people heard it. It was much later than that when they heard it, all right? But that's when it first came on the radio. But the guys, that two men, and one in particular, but two that sort of took credit for creating that character. But they had several guidelines for this character, and this was when he was on the radio, and then eventually it became a television show. But I want to read you a couple. There's not all of them, there's a lot of them, but here's a couple of them. Guidelines for the Lone Ranger. Number one of these was, whenever he was forced to use guns, he never shot to kill. He always tried to just disarm the person. Here's a good one. Some of you over in this section will like this. He always used perfect grammar and precise speech, devoid of any slang or colloquialisms. All right, so we'll make sure his language was correct. Perfect speech. He never drank or smoked. And whenever they show scenes, they never showed like a saloon. It was a cafe with waiters and food and not bartenders and liquor. And then criminals were never shown in enviable positions of wealth or power. Which means he never went to D.C. but criminals were never shown in enviable positions of wealth or power, and they were never successful or glamorous. You know what it was? It was a battle between what? Between good and evil. And he was good, and the bad guys were evil, and they wanted to make sure there was no mixing of the good and evil. You know how long that battle of good and evil has gone on? Ever since Genesis. We've had the battle of good and evil. And it really starts here in Genesis chapter 3. That battle between good and evil that still goes on today. And I want to look at this passage here in Genesis chapter 3. And I don't know how far we'll get. I don't know if we'll get through all the chapter today. But I want to read you the first few verses here. So look at verse 1 of chapter 3. And we read Romans 5:12, and it tells us, "For all have sinned." And we'll come back to that at the very end. But Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." You know, as I read this again this week, and I've read this so many times before, it feels like we end up chapter 2, and there's man and woman, and they're together. And then I feel like we get in here to chapter 3, and we sort of jump in the middle of the story, right? We're just all of a sudden, we're in the Garden of Eden, and this snake is talking to Eve. You know, we just sort of jump in on their conversation. We don't know, well, how do we get there? How do we get there? And the Bible doesn't go into it in this passage. Now, in Isaiah, it talks about Satan. It talks about his sin as Lucifer. Satan was and is a created being. Right? God created him. And he rebelled against God. And in Isaiah chapter 14, it says, Satan said, "I will be like the Most High." His desire was to be like God, to usurp God. It's still his desire today. He's a defeated foe, but he's still a foe. And so Satan, we don't have it recorded here, and we don't know when that took place. We don't know. Some people think it was before the creation of the world. Some people think it was after the 6 days of creation, and then some time period there is when we don't know. We know he was a created being. We know that much. And so he rebelled against God, took some angels with him as well, and then is kicked out of heaven. But Satan appears here in the Garden of Eden. We also don't know this. We're not told how long that Adam and Eve lived before what happens here in chapter 3. Adam and Eve, just like the rest of creation, were created mature. All right, so Adam and Eve weren't little children when they were created. They were created as adults, and just like the rest of creation was created as a mature creation. So, but we don't know. Did they live days or weeks or years or centuries? I don't know. We don't know how long they lived before we have this story here in Genesis chapter 3. Our guess would be it'd be a shorter time instead of a longer time, but we're not really told. But we sort of jump into this story. And in verse 1, we also, interesting here, right, we have an animal talking to Eve. And Eve doesn't seem surprised by that. Again, we don't know how long this conversation had gone on or how many times she had talked to the other animals or how many animals could speak. I don't know. We're not told any of that before this story here. But we do know this, that we have here, and we assume for the first time, I don't know for sure, but as best we know, we had the first temptation of man. Is it possible that Adam and Eve could have been tempted? I guess it's possible. But we have here, and by the way, the reason it could be possible is this, it's not a sin to be tempted, okay? Everybody's tempted. Jesus was tempted, but did not sin. And so we don't know if this is the first time or as many times. We guess it's the first time, but again, we don't know for sure. But we jump in here, and we see a conversation between Satan using the serpent and Eve. And this is the temptation, the first temptation of man. By the way, a couple things about this temptation. What we face today, the Bible tells us later on in the New Testament that we face, in temptation, we face the world, we face the flesh, we face the devil. So this morning, we have to fight against the world, we have to fight against our flesh, we have to fight against the devil. All three of those can cause us and lead us to sin. We make that choice ourselves. They can lead us that direction. With Adam and Eve, they didn't have those things, all right? There was no worldly influence. Adam and Eve had everything around them was good. Everything around them was perfect. There was nothing that, no influence, no worldly system that turned out sin to try to get them. No, none of that. None of that was there. There was no flesh. Now, they were made of flesh, but they were innocent. There was no sin nature. So their flesh would not battle with their spirit to try to get them to sin. There was none of that. The only temptation that they had to deal with was the devil out of those three. And so it was a perfect environment. It was a perfect person. And then Satan was there to tempt. And by the way, we look and say, man, Adam and Eve and Eve. Hey, let me tell you, I would have sinned a lot quicker than he did, all right? But they were there. God gave them a choice. We talked about last week. God didn't just leave them there. No, he gave them a choice. But there was no flesh. There was no world, just the devil. And notice what Satan does here. It tells us in, as he uses the serpent more subtle. And it says in verse 1, and he said unto the woman, there was no flesh, there was no world, just the devil. What did the devil do? He used individual temptation. Eve here is isolated. And we don't know where Adam was. We'll see in later verses, it seemed like he wasn't too far away. But you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to get you by yourself. What does the Bible compare Satan to? So he walks about what? As a lion. What does the lion do? Does the lion go and attack a full? No. The lion picks off the one in the back that's the slowest, right? The weakest, and grabs that one. That's who and the lion always seeking whom he may devour. And that's what Satan does. Satan wants to get, you know what he wants you to do, husband? He wants you to get you away from your wife, where you're not accountable, and you can look on your phone and on the internet anything you want to. Hey, you know what he wants to do, children? He wants to get you away from your parents. So there's nobody saying, hey, be careful about this, be careful about that, so you can do what you want to. That's what he wants. That's how Satan works. He wants to isolate you, get you away. And so with Eve here, he gets her by herself, an individual temptation. And then Satan, we don't know again what he knew and didn't know about what was going on, but obviously Satan is a very intelligent being. And he knows the difference. And interesting, Satan knows the difference between Adam and Eve, right? He knows Eve is the woman and Adam is the man. And so he goes to Eve here and appeals really to her intellect over her emotions. women tend to be, not all women, but most women tend to be more emotional. That's how God made them. In fact, in 1 Timothy 2:14, it's very clear. It tells us that Eve was deceived, that Satan deceived Eve. And so there's a difference. He knew there's a difference between the way men and women think. And let me tell you this morning how women think. Anybody else want to come up here and tell me how women think, all right? Because you're all waiting, weren't you? What's he going to say? This is going to be profound. All right? I don't have the answer. All right? But I know this is different. It's different than the way men think. And so Satan knows that. So he goes after her and he gets her by herself. And he tries to take this opportunity to deceive Eve. Eventually, interesting, he's going to appeal to her intellect over her emotions. Then eventually he's going to appeal to Adam's emotions over his intellect. What's going to happen? Adam's going to take because Eve took and gives to him. There's no argument back and forth with Adam. It's with Eve. And once he deceives Eve, then he uses Eve to what? To go ahead and get Adam to sin as well. Adam knew what he was doing. So there's the temptation of man. And then we see the tactics of Satan. And by the way, these things continue to this day. And I want to show you these are not new to you, I'm sure. Number one is this. In verse number one, he says, "Yea, hath God said." He questions God's word. Do you understand this morning what sin is? Sin is disobedience against God. That's what sin is. The reason something is sin is because God said it's sin. You know, the reason abortion is sin is not because there's some states that have laws against it, some no. The reason it's sin is because God said murder is sin. That's why. Hey, the reason that we believe in capital punishment, as we've talked about in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, is because of the value of life, because that's what God put in place. The reason marriage is between a man and a woman is because that's what God said it's supposed to be. So we go to the Word of God, and when we go against God and disobey God and go against His Word, that's sin. That's what sin is. And so what Satan does first is he questions the Word of God. Did God really say this? And you know, here's what Satan does too, and this is what we do when we start to get away from God. He says, "Yea, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." He wants to focus on the negative. He wants to focus on those things that, well, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you can't. And that's what he wants to dwell on. That's what he'll do with our young people. "Hey, look, all these things you can't do, man. Everybody else gets to do this, but you can't do this." And so Satan does that with Eve. That's the tactics he uses. He casts doubt on the truth of God's word. He's negative. Focus on that. And so he goes from that. "Hey, you can't do this. You shall not eat." And then look what he does in verse number 4. He goes from questioning God's word. "And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die." He contradicts the word of God. He says, "You won't die." Hey, God said they will. Satan says they won't. God said this is what's going to happen. Satan says, "No, that's not going to happen." And so he goes from questioning to contradicting. And I'm telling you this, when you begin to question the Word of God, you're not very far from contradicting the Word of God. And he begins to question this. God had given that. How much of God's Word do they have? Not very much, right? We don't know how much God had told them. Not all that's recorded for us. But we do know a little bit, and we'll talk about that in a second. But God had given them His Word. Satan not only questions it, he contradicts it. "You shall not die." In fact, in verse number 5, he says, "Ye shall be as gods," as God Himself. Remember, that was the goal of Satan, to be like the Most High. Hey, that's what you'll be like. And so he questions God's Word. He contradicts God's Word. And I tell you, and they say, well, he's not going to get me with that. But I tell you, here's what he'll get you with. Look at verse number 5. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You know what he questions next? He questions the goodness of God. He says, "Hey, God's holding out on you. Hey, God doesn't want you to take part of that, because God's really trying to work behind the scenes to make sure you don't get to be like Him, to make sure you don't get to enjoy all the things you could enjoy." And that's the lie of Satan, and he still uses that today. He'll question the goodness of God, and in our mind we'll say, hey, this is really better for me if I do it my way.
not understanding that what God wants for you is best for you this morning. And he questions the goodness of God. Hey, this is what you're missing out on. Man, you'll get to know everything, both good and evil. Let me tell you this morning, doubt always comes from Satan. Always, always. You say, boy, I'm having trouble. We were talking about this. I'm troubled with assurance of my salvation. Hey, that doubt comes from Satan. That's where it comes from. God doesn't send doubt into our minds and go, hey, I want you to doubt. No, God doesn't want you to doubt. He says that you may know that you have eternal life, right? God wants you to know it. And I tell you this, if we allow doubt to continue, it always leads to disobedience as well. And he says, hey, he questions the Word of God, he contradicts the Word of God, and then he questions the goodness of God. And after verse number 5, we do not hear from Satan again in this passage. Satan sort of starts this temptation of Eve. And so then we don't hear again. Of course, we know that there's judgment coming. But is that sin is very, very close, that disobedience to God. We have this temptation of man, we have these tactics of Satan, and then now we have trouble here in paradise. Look at Eve in verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve's first problem was this, she was careless with the word of God. Hey, we've got to be careful this morning and say, well, you know, it's, how important is it that my Bible said, no, let me tell you, God had given them his word. Do not be careless with God's word. Eve here is careless with the word of God. You know, she says in verse number 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Hey, I want you to go back. Let's go word for word back to what God said. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. There's no freely eat in chapter 3, verse 2. Hey, God said you can have any however much of that you want. You're free to eat of all that. Hey, it's showing the freedom that comes in Christ, the liberty that comes in Christ and following what God's word says. And man, you're free to have any of those things. She leaves out that freely part. Hey, oh man, it's so restrictive. God's commandment. No, God's commandment give us liberty to be able to do what God wants us to do, to serve him, to see God work in our hearts and our lives. So she leaves out the freely part. She doesn't emphasize the grace of God, what God has given us that we don't deserve. We can have so much that we can enjoy. And let me tell you this morning, the life in Christ is more enjoyable than anything that Satan can give you. There's no freely eat. And then look at verse number 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God said in verse number 17 of chapter 2, thou shalt surely die. It wasn't there's a possibility. No, no, no. There was a certain consequence for sin. And what does Eve do? She waters down the consequence for sin. Hey, I can't eat of that fruit because I might die. No, it's not a maybe. It's not a, well, I might. No, it is death comes by sin. Hey, this morning, understand something. The reason there's death in the world today is because of sin. That's what it is. And we have so many preachers that don't want to preach about sin, and so many Christians don't want to talk about sin. Let me tell you what the problem is today in our world. It's a sin problem. The problem in your life is a sin problem. My life's a sin problem. Sin is what sends us to hell for eternity. There's so many people who don't take sin seriously. There's a seriousness about it. That's what Jesus shed his blood for. It's taking people to hell every single day. And nobody wants to talk about it. Hey, the world needs to know sin will send you to an eternal hell. That's what the Bible says. And Eve here does not want to take sin and the consequences of it as seriously as he should. I've gone on visitation so many times. You know how many people that I'll talk to, they have no trouble believing they're a sinner. But most, as far as, I don't know if I ever met somebody say, there's kooks everywhere, all right? There's kooks everywhere. Some of them are attracted to independent fundamental Baptist churches, all right? But, and so I'm sure there's some kook out there, yeah, I'm perfect. But I tell you this, they do not think their sin is going to send them to hell. They do not. They think they're going to be okay. Whether they think I'm good enough or God wouldn't do that. Let me tell you something. There's a holy God that looks at sin and he hates sin. And sin is disobedience to God is what destroys. It's what causes destruction and death and sin. And Eve, oh, well, I don't want to do this because it's possible. No. There wasn't a possibility. It was a certainty. Sin was going to lead to death. So Eve's careless with the word of God. She overlooks the consequences of sin. And then she's careless with her company. She's carrying on a conversation here with Satan. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Do what? Resist the devil. There should have been from the beginning resistance by Eve. Hey, don't get away from that. Let me tell you, young people, hey, Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Hey, flee, get away. What did Joseph do? When Potiphar's wife came, he ran. Hey, you know what we need to do when Satan comes? Leave, flee, get away from it. Hey, temptation, get away as far away from it as you can. Hey, decide, make some decisions. Hey, this is what I'm going to make sure. I'm not hanging around sin. I'm not hanging around temptation. And Eve was careless with her company. And then she's careless with the counsel that she listens to. Look at verse number 6. She doesn't go to God. As best we know from later on in the chapter, God would talk to them every day. She doesn't go to God. She doesn't really go to Adam until afterwards, but look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in 1 John, that the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and this goes through all three of those. The lust of the eyes first, she saw it was pleasant to the eyes. The lust of the flesh was good for food. The pride of life desired to make one wise. But you know, she was careless with the counsel. If I go back to in the Word of God to go to verse number 9 of chapter 2. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant to the sight and good for food. You know what, Eve? There's a bunch of other trees out there that are good for food and pleasant to the sight. But you know what she's focused on? The one that she can't have. Hey, you know what? If we get in trouble, we focus on what? Oh, well, I can't do it. Wait, you know how much there is that you can do that's right? Hey, all the other trees that God created, it's not like He created a bunch of dead trees and weren't producing fruit. Oh, boy, this is the only one that's really good. Man, I can't have the good one. No. There's plenty of opportunities out there, plenty of things that she could have had. As we talked about last week, God didn't make them all bad trees and there's one good one. No. All of it was good. There's one that you can't have. So that you can make a choice. But she focuses on what she, oh, this is good for food. This is, hey, Eve, stop a second and look around. There's plenty that are good for food. And so Eve is careless with her counsel, and what does she do? Verse number 6. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. God had told them there's one thing you can't do, and that you can't eat that one fruit, that one tree. And she takes and goes against what God had told her. That's disobedience to God, that's sin. And now, instead of knowing good, right, all we have in chapters 1 and 2, God saw it was good, God saw it was good, God saw it was good. Now, for the first time, we're introduced to what? To evil. try to teach this to our young people. You've got a world out there, the ones, oh, you need to know this and experience this and do all that. Hey, they knew good. That's all they knew. Now they're introduced to, the only thing they gained by that was a knowledge of evil. The Bible tells us in Romans that we're supposed to be simple concerning evil. You know what I want to produce? A generation that's simple concerning evil things. And now all of a sudden their knowledge of evil goes from none to now evil introduced in their lives. And not only, of course, does she sin and being deceived, but then look what happens. He gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Adam was careless in his choice. In fact, let's go. It's interesting. The Bible tells that. I referenced it earlier, but go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The man had been created first, and the woman. Verse number 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam knew exactly what he was doing, and I think that's why we see that the sin comes through Adam. Adam knew. It wasn't any deception at all. Adam knew what was going on. And I don't know what his thought process was, and whether we think good of him or bad of him, we know this. He's the one that sinned and brought sin into the human race, and so Adam is careless in his choice. It comes down to this. Same thing comes down for us this morning. Would Adam and Eve believe the Word of God, or would they believe what Satan said? And you know what? The same thing's true for us when it comes to salvation. Are we going to believe what God's Word says? Are we going to trust Jesus Christ to take all our sins on Him? Are we going to trust the truth of the gospel, or are we going to listen to the lies of Satan and of the world? And what are we going to do? Hey, it's true in our Christian life. You know, the difference between us doing something for God and us living a life in sin is it comes down to what we do with God's Word. And that's what it came down to for Adam and Eve. Here's God's Word. Here's the alternative. Which one are you going to choose? Hey, this morning in our life, this week, which one are we going to choose? God's Word or the temptation of Satan and the world around us? We'll get into next week the consequences of what happened. But let's end with this. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That came through Adam. Because of Adam. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of the sin of Adam, death passed not only to Adam, but to all men. And that nature that Adam had, we call that Adamic nature, that sinful nature, passed on to every man, including every man and woman that's in here and child that's in here this morning. He said, boy, that's not fair. Just because Adam chose to do wrong, how does that affect us? Let me tell you, when Adam chose, he chose for everybody. As a man in the human race, by one man. But I want you to go a couple verses down. Let's go to verse 19. In fact, let's back up to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By who? Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? That sin was imputed to me through Adam. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, His righteousness, when I accepted Him, was imputed to me. So now it's my righteousness is His, right? I don't have any of my own, but it's been imputed unto me. So when God looks at me, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that even though one man caused sin to enter the world, that there was one man that came and died on the cross for you and for me so that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell forever? Hey, you know what sin does? It sends you to hell. But the grace of God through Jesus Christ offers eternal life for every person. For every person. You have to accept that. And is justification that comes through Jesus Christ tells us this, that in the plan of God, we have an opportunity through Jesus Christ to be better than what even Adam was. You know that? What a plan by God. Hey, sin is going to send us to hell, but there's a Savior that came by one man. By one man, the righteousness of Christ. We can spend eternity in heaven. Father, this morning as we talk about what happened thousands of years ago, Lord, that only You know and You recorded for us. Lord, there's no one that was present there that's still alive today. There was no one there, really, to record all that went on except for You. And Lord, thank You that You've given us a record, a written record of what man has done. And Lord, as we study that this morning and see the Word of God, Lord, I pray we'd believe what God's Word says. Lord, if we can't accept Genesis 1 through 3, how in the world can we accept salvation through Jesus Christ? Or sin's not a joke to You. It's not something to play around with. It's serious because it's disobedience to Your Word. And so I pray this morning You'd be with us. And Lord, I pray first of all, if there's someone here that is living in their sin, Lord, they've never accepted You as their Savior. They're on their way to an eternity away from God. An eternity in hell forever. Lord, I pray today be their day of salvation. They'd realize the exceeding seriousness and sinfulness of sin. Lord, help them to turn from their sin to Christ this morning. Then I pray, Lord, for those that are saved. Lord, help us not to be, as Eve was, careless with the Word of God, careless with the company we keep, with the counsel we take, with the choices we make, not to be careless in those things. Oh, Lord, but to stay as far away from sin in our lives. Lord, not to get to heaven, You've taken care of all that. Oh, but as we heard some today, to be closer to You, to be closer to You. Lord, help us this morning all to realize what sin can do always leads to destruction, always. In Jesus' name, amen. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Satan wants you to doubt. God doesn't want you to doubt. He sent His Son so that we can know for sure we're on our way to heaven. And this morning, the only way to heaven is not our goodness. It's not, as so many religions have taught, hey, you can never be good enough. How could you be certain? Because you wouldn't know if you're going to do something bad this next day. No, the only assurance comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. You hear this morning, you say this, you say, I know I'm saved, not because I'm good enough, no, because I've accepted what Jesus Christ did for me, that God-man that's died on the cross for me. I've accepted His righteousness, His sacrifice for my sin. And I know for sure this morning that if I were to die, I'd spend eternity in heaven. If you can say that, just slip your hand up like I'm doing, say, I know I'm saved, you can put your hand right back down. Here this morning, you say this, you say, I don't know for sure. Maybe there's some doubt in your mind or there's some things you just don't know. And understand where doubt comes from. Now, if there's never been a time that you've accepted Christ as Savior, you need to do that now. You need to do that today. You need to do that this morning. Because it's a truth in the Word of God. Sin will send you to an eternity in hell. Make sure you know. God wants you to know. If you're here this morning and say, listen, I'm not sure. I've never accepted Christ as Savior. If I was to die today, I don't know that I'd spend eternity in heaven. If you're like this morning, just say, pray. I won't embarrass you at all, but say, pray for me. Just slip here and say, pray for me this morning. I'm not sure about my salvation, or I don't know for sure at all if I'm saved. I've never accepted Christ. And make sure you know. Make sure you know that you're on your way to heaven. Hey, how about if you're saved this morning? Are we living in sin? Oh, well, I'm taken care of. Well, no. We want that relationship with God to be right. Realize how serious and sin is to God. And don't live a life in disobedience to God. Hey, are we obeying God's word with our life? As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward.
Listen, I don't know all you're going to face this week, but I can tell you this, you're going to face temptation. And you're going to face a battle, and that battle is between righteousness and unrighteousness, disobedience, obedience. It's between good and evil. It's between God and Satan. You're going to face that this week. Let me tell you something. You're saved. Guess what? You got God on your side, right? So you can have the victory through Jesus Christ. So don't fret about that, but understand it's coming. It's coming. You're going to face temptation. You're going to face it this week. You'll face it. And make sure we're in God's Word, following what God's Word wants us to do. Man, enjoy the day today. Be back tonight. Brother Jason will be preaching for us tonight. Looking forward to that. So be back 6 o'clock for that. And then also, man, have a great week this week. And, man, try to do what God would have you do this week. And looking forward to what he has for us. Brother West, why don't you close in prayer for us?